This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, we look at the hot new rock band Franz Ferdinand. But first, as we wait for the president's announcement of his pick for a new Federal Reserve Bank chairman, we're joined by NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving to discuss the politics of this choice. And Ron, being chairman of the Federal Reserve, that's a very powerful position. His decisions affect the economic fortunes of millions of Americans, not to mention the global markets. So will this nomination attract the same kind of political bickering that we've seen so far for the Supreme Court justice nominations?
I'm guessing it won't right now, Madeline. I think that what we're going to have is a struggle on a much lower level where people do talk about economic policy. There will be people who are not big fans of Ben Bernanke and the Council of Economic Advisers and the advice that they have given to President Bush, or for that matter, big fans of President Bush's economic policy. But I don't think they're going to be able to mount the kind of challenge to this particular nomination that can be mounted for a Supreme Court justice. And that's because one of the things that a head of the Federal Reserve Board has in common with a Supreme Court justice is that most people don't understand exactly what they do. They regard them as an oracle of some kind. There's a tremendous amount of mystery about how that policy is made. And so it's not going to be possible, I don't believe, to generate a lot of popular reaction to this out in the country. So most of the people in the Senate who do care about this most will have their say, but they won't really organize the kind of political resistance that we can see to a Supreme Court nomination.
Well, let's look at another big Washington story today. The grand jury investigating the leak of the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame is set to end this week, and there may or may not actually be indictments, but everyone in Washington, I suppose, is holding their breath.
Indeed. The grand jury that's been sitting and considering this case is due to expire on Friday, and the general betting now, Madeline, is that either tomorrow or Wednesday, the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, will bring his charges before the grand jury for them to decide whether or not they want to issue those charges. So tomorrow or Wednesday it may become official if there are going to be indictments or not. But of course, in the shorter run, what many people think might happen will be that someone may get notified that they are about to be indicted or more or less likely to be indicted, and that that person's attorney may then in some way or another get that word out to certain reporters. In other words, there will be a leak about the investigation of the leak, and we will then have a number of stories, a flurry of stories, about whether Karl Rove or Scooter Libby is going to be indicted or whether someone else is going to be indicted. Karl Rove, of course, is the president's top political advisor, and in some respects you could say that I. Lewis Libby, known as Scooter Libby, fulfills the same function for Vice President Cheney.
And this investigation has served to remind people about the Bush administration's whole justification for the war in Iraq. The evidence that was put forth at the time that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, and that effort was orchestrated by a team of Bush insiders we're now starting to learn more about, called the White House Iraq Group. Tell us about this.
This is a group of eight people who started meeting back in 2002 to talk about the run-up to the war and how the policy of the administration might be best communicated to the country as a whole. So this was a largely communications function, but many of these people had a policy function as well. Karl Rove, whom we mentioned, and I. Lewis Libby, Scooter Libby, whom we mentioned. Also Karen Hughes, who was the president's main communications person. Mary Madeline, who fulfilled the same function for the vice president. And then you had the national security advisor of the first term, Condoleezza Rice, now the secretary of state, and her primary deputy, Stephen Hadley. They were all part of this group. And then the last two people in it were Nick Callio, who was the principal liaison to Congress, and James Wilkinson, who was a White House communications person who had been over in Iraq with Tommy Franks as his communications officer and came back to get involved in this effort. They were all about coordinating between the various aspects of the White House and also to the Pentagon and the State Department to some degree, the overall effort to understand our reasons for the war, or the reasons of the White House for the war, and communicate those to as many people as possible.
And are Democrats looking for more answers about this group?
They are going to make an effort in the House of Representatives to pass a resolution that would force the White House to turn over all documents related to the White House Iraq group. I don't think that's going to get very far. The Republicans control the House and Senate, and they're not going to vote for such a resolution. But what it will do is it will give them a chance for news conferences and news releases that will raise the issue and try to get more people aware of the run-up period to the war and how the information was organized in a certain way to convince people we needed to invade Iraq.
Ron Elving is NPR's senior Washington editor, and for more analysis, you can read his column Watching Washington on our website, npr.org. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Thank you, Madeline.